you and I thank you, Lord, that you are near to us, and you draw near to us as we draw near to you in worship.
Amen.
This night we thank you, O God, that you are the one whose promise is that you will never leave us orphans.
Amen.
Yes, Lord, hallelujah. Your word declares, O God, that you shall be with us even to the very end of age.
Amen.
We want to thank you, O God, that you are the good shepherd, the one who has called us to walk with you, and we are not alone. Tonight we pray that our minds might be receptive, that our hearts might be yielded, that our will be sanctified in you, and we will look to you and to you alone. Men cannot help us, men's words cannot save us, but one word from the mouth of God is enough to bring about the revelation of our blessing upon our lives. What is impossible in man is made possible with God. We thank you, O God, that tonight you are willing to work for our lives so that we can be fashioned to be like you. This night, Lord, we thank you that your word declares when God arises, enemies shall be scattered. Whatever the enemy might be, Lord's tricks and plans over our lives today, I thank you that your very presence will scatter the works of the enemy from our lives and from this place tonight. In the name of Jesus, may it be so. Holy Spirit, take a hold over our ears. Reveal to us the word of God tonight. Not what we are looking for, but what you want to manifest for us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand the presence of the Lord tonight.
Hallelujah. You can take out your good cheeks, wipe your face, take out your Bibles out of there, pen and paper and all that. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Took a towel and girded himself. Amen. Third verse, one more time together. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, would you pray today that the Lord would speak to you? And the Lord would help me to speak too. Amen. Hallelujah. Yesterday evening was a blessing to many. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Tonight it will be a different kind of blessing. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And some time back we had a couple of sessions actually on a topic that was based on the third letter of John and verse 2. And one of the reasons why I wanted this 3 days to be a time of fasting and prayer was because God told me that the area of our soul should be one that should be brought before Him, where He could redeem and restore and bring about a healing. Amen. Sometimes you suddenly find that there is a part of you that wants to do what God wants you to do, and there is a part of you that wants to do what the flesh wants you to do. It's like two people staying in the same house and both wanting to go in opposite directions. Amen. And sometimes that happens to a believer and he does not understand what he is going through. On one side of his life, he wants to believe in the Lord, trust in the Lord, do what God tells him to do. It's everything is wanting to lean on God and do the will of God. On the other side is a part of his nature that wants to go its own way. And this struggle sometimes becomes so intense that a person, a child of God, a believer in Christ, does not know what's happening. And it comes to a state where some begin to very much doubt, are they going insane? What's happening? What's this battle that's going on? Do you understand what I'm saying? Anybody being in that kind of shoes? Amen. A struggle. And I believe the one way to come into a balance, that will be there. Amen. Till Jesus comes. But the more you understand from the light of God's word and learn to get your flesh in harmony with your spirit under the subjection of your soul, you will soon realize that you don't have to struggle the way you're struggling, but you can learn to trust and let go and find the hand of God working for you. Amen. Now tonight, I want to take a message that we had some Sundays back, and I believe some of you wrote down, but in case there are some of us, I know there are so many of you here who are new, and so maybe I'll just display it on the board here, and then see where the Holy Spirit can take us from there. Amen. Yes, my brother, standing you up. Excellent. Amen. This is the chart which I asked some of you to write down, and some of you who haven't, maybe you can look through it now. I don't know whether I'll be touching that now, but something in those lines, in the area of your soul, in the area of your mind, emotions, and will. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, one day when I was praying, the Holy Spirit very clearly spoke to me. There are several times where He has very clearly spoken to me. Other times I've just taken from the word that He has written and put my faith in it. But there are times you feel and you know God is speaking to you so clear. It's not in your mind, it's deep within your spirit. In your mind there's always a battle. Amen. The devil approaches you through your mind. And when you believe a lie of this, then he tries to get you to believe that lie and act upon that lie. But God works the other way around. God speaks to your spirit. Are you with me? And that comes from your spirit man into your mind for meditation, for thought. So, it was one of those days where I believe the Lord spoke to me, and the Lord spoke to my spirit. He spoke so clearly, and this was the question. He asked, what is the image that you have of yourself? Amen. Not what people have about you. Not what people think about you. I know there's a long story to say when I ask you something like that. You would say, my mother feels this way, my uncle feels this way, my husband feels this way, my children feel this way. But that's not the question. What is the image that you have of yourself? Amen. Hallelujah. I am here with me today. Heavenly peace to this message. Amen. I need encouragement today. Amen. This is such a delicate subject. I wish I could just speak on the Holy Ghost talk. But
when the hits on the screen, that's where my anointing is. But sometimes it so happens that when you are standing as a minister of the gospel, the pastor in church, and you have to deal with issues which you don't like, are you with me? Because you find some of the sheep are going through certain struggles, and the Lord has to minister through you, and you understand that you have to submit to that and say, Lord, yes, I know that's not what I love to do, but that's what you want me to do, so let me do it. Now this is one of those messages which is not something that I like to do, but when I see the battle that some of you go through, I know God is saying to me, do it. Amen. And that's the time I need that encouragement, that prayer, and the support to say, okay, brother, we are with you. Haha, don't worry if you make a mistake, go ahead. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So, this is one of the questions that I've filled up. Now, this is not the one that you find in a reader's diet. I mean, there are things like that that comes upon. You know, this is a topic which is very, very familiar with the secular world. But the enemy will always try to counterfeit which is originally from God. I would mean the world has got nothing new to give you. It only takes what is of the Lord and tries to make it so. Are you with me? Now God is the one who is interested about your soul. He is the one who is interested about your image. And the enemy tries to take that. And that the enemy tries to do with secular minded people and tries to put it across. And that's where you find people having our self-help books and all that which helps us to find something about ourselves, but which makes us fall short of the Lord. So what happens to a believer when he comes into a Bible believing church? He would like to believe that everything is of the devil, and if he can get the devil out, he's free. That's true. There's a lot of things that the enemy does. There is a devil, and there's a lot of things which the enemy does, which we have to rebuke and to resist. Amen. A lot of things that is there within your life that's happening because of an emptiness or a struggle or a bondage within your own soul, where you have a poor image about yourself. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? Now, if you were to write this and tick in those columns, 1, 2, 3, well, that's the way the column is. Yes? Do you like yourself? Do you think others like you? Don't start to cry now. We'll have time for that. Are you intellectually capable? Hallelujah. Do you express your feelings openly? Are you successful in what you do? Amen. Hallelujah. Do you see yourself as an attractive person? Is comparing yourself with others unprofitable? Can you accept compliments? Are you comfortable in complimenting others? Do you feel loved by God? John Wesley says that he would preach on the love of Christ and how God can forgive everyone, and he used to preach on that, millions and millions used to hear the word and be set free, and they would be coming to the Lord and putting their faith in the Lord. But it is towards the end of his life suddenly he realized that God could forgive him also. Hallelujah. Sometimes, you know, do you feel loved by God? I mean, you might have preached on it, you might have heard about it, but you say, okay, that's for my brother here, that's for my uncle there, that's for my auntie like sitting next to me. But do you personally feel that God loves you? And so all the things that you have done wrong, the 100 million things where you have gone wrong and done wrong, and the horrible things that you have done in your life, do you still feel that Jesus cares? Do you? Do you enjoy your work? Do you think yourself as a loving person? Amen. Hallelujah. And so on and on and on. Amen. Most of you wrote down that. But tonight, you know, I've got a lot of notes here. So this is what happens when you have a poor self-image. It's something easier to experience than actually define it. Are you with me? See, if you have a poor self-image, you feel always insignificant, of little worth, inferior. And if you have a person with a poor self-image, what happens to you is that you cannot make lasting relationships. You could be married but still be a loner. Are you with me? Because you do not know how to express yourself. And so what happens with poor people with poor self-image is that they some of the reasons why people overeat, get into abuse of drugs, drink, even sexual immorality, and even contemplate suicide and finishing their life is because of the fact they have a poor image of themselves. They feel they are no good. Do you understand that? And some of the things that abuses that happen in life, some of the people getting into it is said that in a survey that was taken in the United States of America, it was found that most people, the youth there, get into pre-marriage sex because of one reason, because they found out in the survey of a poor self-image. They're trying to find a place for themselves. You begin to struggle in your mind, begin to go through that struggle in your inner being because you do not know who you are. I mean, you go through this question. I mean, have you listened to the voice that goes through your mind? There's something called a self-talk. That means without you realizing, your mind is always talking to you. And when you're silent, and when you're by yourself, you'll realize there are 100 million messages that are playing through your mind. Messages about yourself, messages about the people around you, about the ministry that you go to, about others that you know. Messages that go on and on and on and on. Definitely there's a devil that tries to put in his lies and come against you, and that brings a certain amount of torment. Suddenly you're able to recognize it's from the enemy. He's condemning, he's taking you to a place where you feel terrible about yourself. But more than anything else, more than the devil, you will find when he is kind of busy somewhere else, with someone else, when you're left on your own, suddenly you realize that you have a struggle going on in your mind. Amen. This talk that is going on in your mind. You know what's happening? Your thoughts are not solid. I mean, it's not on substance. I mean, it's like a thing that's going on. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, so what happens to a person with a person before I come to the right image and how to get our healings? Because I want you to do a lot of things. Amen? Before we get to that place. What happens when you have a poor self-image is that there begins to happen some kind of distorted thought patterns. Distorted thought patterns. And one of those things is what I call a black and white thinking. You know what this black and white thinking is? It's a thinking that is really rigid. It's like, it's extreme kind of thinking. It's like, suddenly you lose your anger, and so you say, I think I'm a bad person. It's extreme. You can say, I'm a bad person. I've lost my last exam, so I am a failure in that. It's an extreme kind of thinking. Are you with me? It's black and white. Because I've done this, this is what I am. That's not what you are. It's because you have a poor self-image, you suddenly begin to have this state that's going on in your mind. See, you need to realize this. See, Jesus, by the river Jordan, stood, and the heavens opened, and the Father's voice said, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." Before the Lord had done a single miracle, preached a single sermon, did any kind of wonder or any kind of activity for the gospel, the voice of the Father said, "This is my beloved Son." What is God trying to say to that? What God is trying to say to that is, it's not what you do that makes you accepted in His sight. It is what you are. When He created you. You understand that? Some people say, if I achieve this, then I think I am good. I think I am successful. If I pass my exams with destination, or maybe if I do this business and I'm a big hero there, or if I have people around me clapping all the time and saying, "Brother, you're so nice, brother, you're so nice." You think you'll feel good? No. Amen. Some people say, "Okay, I forgot." So I think I'm a dummy. See, extreme kind of thinking. Are you with me? See, this is because you have poor self-image. You have a distorted thinking pattern, or maybe you commit a sin. What happened? He said, and then we're going to die, I'm worthless. And that is the biggest trap for a believer. You come through a faith, you begin to walk with the Lord, and the first time you stumble, second time you stumble, you say, God made a mistake when God called me. Do you hear that? Are you tired? Are you listening?
Amen.
Amen. See, when you have this story called pattern, what happens is the second thing is that you begin to put labels for yourself. What would you call yourself? Don't say it out. It is said that when before marriage, when a boy and a girl goes out, they only share their good points, you know. I studied in the sensei. I studied here. I did that, yeah. Only a good point. And the first 3 months only the good point. It's so nice, I'm so sweet. But then come the day of realization. Then the love is blind, marriage is an eye opener. The day comes. How would you label yourself? Left yourself sitting alone. Most people do not want to sit alone because they're scared to face themselves. You know what I mean? They're fidgety. They're restless. How would you view yourself? What label that you would give to yourself? There's something that you can think about and do. That's because you'll find the answer towards the end, but you need to do your part. The third point, when a distorted thought pattern is there, is what I call viewing the world through dark glasses. You're viewing the world through dark glasses. That means you're viewing everything negatively. Everything you don't see objectively, you see negatively. A person with a poor self-image is more conscious of his sin than of the righteousness of God. He's more conscious of what he does not have than of what he is going to have. And it is because, not of the devil, because of his very distorted thinking, that he is in a point where he is not allowing the Lord to work through him. It's not that God does not want to work through him, but he won't allow. You hear that? You begin to see everything negatively. Have you seen people like that? Any person they see, any house they see, any object or any ministry that they go to, they only see negative things. They never see anything positive. They're viewing the whole thing through dark glasses. When you do something like if you're a housewife and you cook and you take care of your home, but still you see the pain and sickness again because you say, I guess everybody can do it. I'm not much. It's much. Amen. It's tremendous. But you're seeing it negatively. You're viewing everything negatively. The fourth one, in a distorted thought pattern and the poor self-image, some people call it a grasshopper thinking or kangaroo or kangaroo. Huh? Kangaroo, yeah, okay. I was just looking whether you knew it. Grasshopper thinking or kangaroo jumping. You know what a kangaroo jumping is? When you have a post to make, you're always jumping to conclusions. And you're interpreting everything as applying to you. design is it? And you can understand how it works. Just the candle is it. You can get a family life, just jumping into conclusion. You are anything for that matter. Are you with me? And some of the ways jump to conclusions is that we are married, sometimes like he didn't bring me, so maybe he doesn't care about me. How am I learning people like that? I'm rich enough. I'm not one. Jumping to conclusions. Or maybe something like the guy looks upset, maybe I've done something wrong. And you know they feel wrong. Somebody looks at you. Yeah, I find hard to look at people sometimes. The other day I was sitting with somebody in the room and somebody was looking at him, you know. So another guy was wearing a good shirt, I was just looking at him. What is that in jumping to conclusions. He does not know how I feel, so maybe he doesn't love me. Things like that. Are you with me? Poor self-image and distorted thought patterns that happen. Are you always jumping to conclusions? I'm not able to pray well, so I think God has rejected me. It happened. The brass is a little... I think I'm not annoying them. You understand that? Just jump to conclusions. I have an estimate of anyone inside, I don't think God's anointing is inside of me. I can't read 5 chapters of the Bible a day. I don't know whether God will ever use me. Thoughts like that? Anybody here? A distorted thinking that happens with the poor self-image is what is called a telescopic vision. That is, you know, a telescope you can look through both the sides. When viewing a weakness, it will be magnified. When you view your strength, you say, it's not much. You understand that? So it's a good thing always for you to find your place and your healing to sit with the Lord tonight when you go and write what are the talents that you have, what are the giftings that you have, what are the abilities that you have. Find it and write it. You need to do that to get into your place. Because see, there is a world out there that is trying to minimize the potential of the church. And so what I believe God's Spirit is doing is it's trying to maximize your potential. Are you with me? The world does not want to listen to the body of Christ. He wants to despise, love it, but God has said you shall be the city on the hill. If there's going to be any influence on the city, it's going to be by the church of Jesus Christ. So when the whole people around you, everybody is trying to just minimize your potential, and sometimes that might be the reason when you hear a message, you suddenly black out. And they say, I don't have a problem. I don't want to listen to it. Give me something faster. A quick fix. Just give me some word, nice, some worship. I want to speak in tongues for some time and get up and go. But don't deal with me inside. Don't make me look into myself and find my area, because I'm scared. Many people hide behind their faith. Are you with me? And one of the easiest ways to hide is to say, Lord, I need help for thinking. You see that? There's a time when you have to do that. There's a season when you have to do that. But if that's all that you've done ever since the time you've been born again, then it could be that you are not allowing the Lord to do something inside and to get something for you. Are you with me? And the distorted image, the last point of distorted image of thinking is enslaved driver mentality. Some well-meaning Bible teachers call it some people call it the tyranny of the shoulds. You didn't get it, did you? I explained. I should please everybody. Are you with me? It's a tyranny of shoulds. I mean, it's all should. I should. I can't disappoint everyone. I heard God say, see, listen, never expect yourself to be treated, if you're a disciple of Christ, any way better than they treated Jesus. You get that? Never expect to be treated in any way better than the way they treated Jesus. If you're going to look to the world to, pamper you up and say, oh, let's just be gagged. That's not possible. Are you with me? You can't. And so you should get off your system that you can't be a people pleaser. And if you're always in this thought pattern, say, I should please everybody. Oh, what do you want me to do? This guy will get upset. My mother-in-law will get upset. My father will get upset. My son will get upset. My children will get upset. There's something wrong. Are you with me? You have a distorted thinking which needs to be put right. When I see, so many people have so many expectations about me. And to be very frank, I don't usually care. So what I do is, I say, Lord, what do you want me to do? I can't please everybody. What do you want me to do? What does your word tell me to do? How do I need to hang over this? I look to the Lord. It is only people like that God can anoint you and use your mind. Because they can tell you when you're going to get into ministry, it's not going to be, you can never please everybody. Are you with me? The entire is not going to be able to get any better than that. You cannot. Some people don't step out for the Lord just because of this, what mothers think. Some people don't even pray. You want to look cute and be somewhat nice when you pray. And the person next to in front of you might say, what is this guy doing? Is he there? See, it's good. Very easy when you come to a video stretch like this. But if you're going to minister somewhere outside and you're going to stand and do an evangelist, because you're going to stand there and there are people sitting there, we stumble, they don't take it to their wisdom of listen to him. If he doesn't act very crazy and if he's not too emotional and if he knows how to balance things, maybe you'll listen to him. You can't. If I might do that, I won't be able to please the Lord. I'm not trying to say that you shouldn't try to do that, but your first priority is the Lord. Please the Lord and the world and all that. And then if you can, definitely please them. But not in the cost of
walking with God
and hurting the Lord. I should not take any time off. I have that problem. I should not take any time off and be guilty. See, one of the tyranny of the shoulds is to get you to what is called a false guilt. Are you with me? And many people pray out of guilt more than anything else. False guilt. I should be strong all the time. I have to hurry all the time. I must not waste time. I must not feel tired. Are you with me? There's a time when you feel tired. There's a time when you waste a little bit of time. Father, see, it should not be a tyranny in your mind. It means that you are getting into a place called slavishness. Are you with me? How many with me tonight, please? So one of the reasons why a poor self-image links you to a distorted thinking pattern is because of this. Remember, in the book of Proverbs, chapter 23 and verse 7, it says, as a man thinketh, so is he. Say that with me, as a man thinketh, so is he. As a man thinketh, so is he.
So
I will say, as a man thinketh, so is he. So what you think is how you will feel. And how you will feel is how you will act. Did you get it? So if you have a faulty belief system, you have a faulty behavior. That is why the enemy comes and says, listen, the enemy comes and says, you are a body. And you believe that. Then you feel as if you are in bondage. Then you act like a person in bondage. You hear that? Wake up and you can find the other bondage. When 2,000 years ago Jesus opened the door for you and set you free and called you to freedom, by His blood you are free. Revelation 1 and verse 5 and 6 says, by His blood He has loosed us and freed us from our sins. When you confess your sin, two things happen. He loses you and frees you. Are you with me? Revelation 1, 5 and 6, He loses and frees you. Amen. That means the bondage is not there. Loosed and free. How you think, so you feel, and then you begin to act that way. Now, I think I've shared before. If you have heard before, yet one more time. You know, there's a fantastic man of God. He speaks about a time when somebody called him and said, Pastor, would you come and pray? My husband is demonically possessed. So would you come and pray? So he said, I will come. So he and his wife, they took their Bibles and all that, and they traveled. And they said, how long? For a long time. So who asked you to come here and call me? This lady says, some other pastor asks you to call you because you're very gifted to cast out the devil and very anointed to do it. So we felt that you had to come. Has anybody else prayed? Yeah, so many pastors are sitting there and praying. This guy walked in, this pastor walked in that house, and he can hear people praying in tongues and groaning in tongues and speaking in other language and clapping their hands and taking authority and all that. He said, oh my God, these guys are really strong warriors for Christ. And he looked into the house and he found that this guy was locked up in another room and these guys were praying in another room locked up. And he walked into this room to face this man who was demonically possessed. And this man, a huge man, comes running over. And he steps forward, and it is in the name of Jesus. The demonically possessed man comes running over and tries to hit him. He keeps his hand like this. He hits the hand. This man guy falls back. Then takes the leg and begins to tries to kick the bus. Master again keeps his hand like this. Then falls down. Then the pastor stood there and he asked the Lord, oh, what is this? The Lord said, it's not a demon. technology. So he knows, you know, he can't walk out of the truth because then the name of the Lord will be blasphemed. Because people say this servant of God came and he can catch the devil out. He said, Lord, how do I handle it? Lord said, sit down in that room. He sat down in that room. So he comes again. So here, he says, I'll kill you. He says, no, you won't. So ask the wife, what is his name? Some name. There's again. That's not the original name, but I'm just saying a name. Kamsuti. He more of a guy to him. He stop there. He more of a guy to him. He more of a guy to him. Those very good, those guys in the world, more carry on, more carry on. But now the Vijayasana. When am I walking carry? That's walking carry on. So this guy said, this guy went, when he came back after about an hour, they were having lunch. So this guy said, my wife used to go for this prayer meeting, and I didn't like it. And so I said, Prathanaku Vijayanthanaki. Prathanaku Vijayanthanaki, then I came here. Why when I said to the pastor, and the Rata of him, So this guy goes back, this woman goes back, and the husband is standing there. And the lady said, Vasa ne paare, angle bijaa ka.
You?
Ni angle ba baatti aari bolu. This girl cried and told the pastor, and I had you. அங்கே வாசிய பார்த்துட்டு வாங்கிச்சு அப்படிலாம் இருந்துச்சு விஜய் இல்லையா. So this pastor said, you got to கட்டி விடு, ஏன் வேற வாசிட்டு வாங்க, வேற என்ன வாசமா இருக்கு, வேற என்ன வாசமா இருந்து பாருங்க வாசமா நடச்சது. தீபாவளி ஆன மாசமான தேசியம் വാസന അടിക്കേണ്ടത്. ആ പാസ്റ്റർമാരെ വന്നിട്ട് മക്കൾ വളരെയായത് കൊണ്ട് അവർ ഓടി. അവർ ഞാൻ ഒരു 21 ദിവസം ഉപവസിച്ചു കഴിച്ചു. ഒരു മുട്ടാൻ സാധനം 21 ഉപവസിച്ചു കുളിക്കാൻ നമ്മളെ വെച്ചു. Why? So what I'm trying to tell you is this. A lie, are you with me? A word brought in a faulty belief system. And this guy began to feel as if he was demonically possessed. And he begins to act like he's demonically possessed. It happens to believers. Can you imagine that? Once a person here comes to me again and said, oh, Kavina, I did an 8-term money on the last year, I'm not a vendor, but I want to put it forward. Only a trap. Are you with me? The enemy comes against your belief system. If you have a poor self-image, you begin to take those lies in and you begin to think. So you begin to feel, and that's when you begin to act. Amen. I'm not saying that there are no demons, there are demons. Amen. We need to take authority and cast it out. But this dealing with something else. Amen. Hallelujah. See, we're just halfway through the message. Would you lift your hands and begin to pray so that I can come in the message? So what happens to those kind of people is that they, you know, somebody, if somebody were to compliment them, they would dismiss those compliments. They wouldn't give it room. All negative are worth it. Are you thinking? There must be 100 good things that has been spoken over you, but you won't remember any one of them. But one bad thing that's been said about you, you will remember. You won't take in compliments and affirmations that people give you. Because you think yourself you are worthy to it. Another way that you compensate for a poor self-image is by drawing attention to yourself. And it's actually an evidence of your insecurity. Are you with me? Drawing attention to yourself. There are a couple of ways that you do it. Sometimes by acting the clown, being the joker. Are you with me? You try to draw attention to yourself. Another way is by acting helpless. I need a saving. Acting helpless. It's actually an evidence of your insecurity inside. Another way of compensating for a poor self-image when you have a poor upbringing is by being a person who is always boasting. You will boast about things that you have done. About the 70 marks that you got in your third standard when all other years you failed. You hear that? Now those are the guys who will speak about bad interview. There's a place for all that. What I'm saying is it becomes like an idol for them. But that's what gives them security. அவர் குடும்ப பேர் போன ஸ்தாலோ എന്റെ கிரேட் கிராண்ட் ஃபாதர் ஒரு ஆணி உண்டாரு எனக்கு ஒரு பூச்சி உண்டு. You're compensating for your low self-esteem. One of the other ways that you compensate is by being suspicious. 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 I'm saying always suspicious. Even when you do them, they're suspicious. Then the problem is here in now. They're always suspicious. Even if you do them a favor, even if you bless them, even if you engage them, the problem is no. That's again insecurity, are you with me? And those are the people who end up becoming controllers. Those are the people who want to know everything that happened. Where was Ranjit? Where was Ranjit? And what does that matter to you? Are you with me? This, you compensate for poor self-esteem. I'm going to this another way is by rigid thinking. Rigid thinking. Now that means you're willing to walk your walk with God by a set of do's and don'ts, by regulations, by being a legalist. comfortable there.
It's rigid, but you feel good there.
There is no element of desire in your heart to walk by grace. Even if God is willing to say, if I were to say to you right now, stand up and God is going to set you free, you'll say, I didn't pray enough, let me pray tomorrow and come on Monday. Help me? Because you want to do it by works. When God is saying, listen, I'm going to give it to you freely, charisma, the charismata, the free gift of God. It's grace. So you try to achieve things, even receive things from God by your effort. Now you know it intellectually, maybe you are saved by grace. But how many of you have accepted it in your heart, deep down? You know it intellectually. You're saved by grace, by faith in Christ and not by your works. He's accepted you, unmerited favor. But how many of you know it deep down? Hear that? Hallelujah. The next way that you compensate for poor self-esteem is being by an aggressor. It's actually forcing my will on somebody else. Those are the people who are, next one, and I go to the last two fast. Workaholism. Always working. Always working. Let me tell you something simple here. Never bring your work to your home. Finish your work at your workplace. Are you with me? Now let's just get to this place where how to go about receiving my healing. Oh, hallelujah. One of the areas which the enemy tries to attack is your self-image, actually. What's the image that you have of yourself inside? Are you with me? And one of the ways to see a better self-image is by looking to the Lord. Let me explain that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the 15th chapter and verse 49. There's one powerful scripture which I've been meditating upon for some time. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 49. And as we are born the image of the man of dust, so shall we also bear the image of the heavenly man. Amen. Just as we have borne the image of, taken the image of the earthly man Adam, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly man. Amen. That word Adam means loose dirt. Now, have you any time thought about this guy called Moses? Moses, God is telling Moses, Moses, go back to Egypt from where you ran away. I'm sending you as my vessel. Go stand before Pharaoh and tell them, let the people of God go. Now Moses, if I was in the shoes of Moses, if God would tell me that, I wouldn't go. You know why? Because Egypt was the place of my failure. I had actually ran away from Egypt. And that's exactly where God is telling me to go. Did you hear that? That is exactly where God is telling me to go. Egypt for Moses was the place where Moses failed. That's the place where he killed someone. You hear that? He killed someone in Egypt. And God is telling him, go back to that place. Now why could Moses go? When all through the time in the wilderness when he came out of Egypt, he must have been, he's a failure, he's a runaway, he's got no place to go, he's a nobody, he's working riches of what is God from God than over what is not God. Suddenly he is seeing the God and his image changes. He says, I'm no loose God anymore. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So you need to allow yourself to know there are places where you have been defeated, places where you have failed, places where you have miserably failed, places from which you have run away. But let me tell you, one burning bush experience of the Lord is enough to send you right back there in the victory of God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. See, have you any time looked at this word? See, in Jeremiah 31, and verse 3 it says, now it says there, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Say that with me, the Lord is saying, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Remember his past tense, I've loved you. Amen. In 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 to 3 it says, behold, the manner of love the Father has given unto us. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we should be called the sons of God. That we should be called the sons of God. The present tense. Behold the manner of love the Father has given unto us. Amen. Behold the manner of love the Father has given unto us. Amen. And look to this word, 1 Corinthians 2. What no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, so that I have prepared for the ones that I have loved. It's a future tip. What I want to highlight is this. God is a God not only of the past. Amen. Not only of the present, but of the future. He's saying there is love for you in the place that you never thought you had. Even your life, I've drawn you with my love. Even today, right where you are, when you think you are nothing, again I have lavished on you my love. And in the future, my love never ceases. If you think my love for you will change, you're mistaken. Because tomorrow also, I prepared something for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And it's called a healthy self-image called by George MacDowell, that seeing yourself as God sees you. No more, no less. Amen. Say that with me, seeing myself as the way God sees me. No more, no less. Inside of you, it's not only the ability to be created, it's the ability inside of you to say no. You hear that? To say no. You hear that? The maybe we can never say no. Have you seen that? If you have a poor self-esteem, you're always looking to your negative side, you can never say no to someone. If it's a job, if it's a person, if it's a temptation, if it's a business offer, you think you have to do it all. The only person who is healthy will know. No. Amen. Can you say no, John? But now on, you're going to. We seldom say no to your wife because we're scared of hurting people. What do people think? Will there be rejection if I say no? You hear that? Then that most girls fall into wrong relationships and end up doing the wrong thing in their life because they never say no. Because they're scared of rejection. If I say no, will that person reject me? You hear that? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I got so much of God. you for the show you do today, yes? How many clients have come today? Please congratulate me, yes? Allow the Holy Spirit to show you the point. One thing that you need to do, and never please, this is so important. When you write the wrong images that you have and how you need to unwind, also when you are allowing the Lord to put in a new image inside of you, that's from His nature, you understand what you have. You need to take a piece of paper and pen and write this, and this will give you rules for your spiritual image. Okay? For the inward man. And that is this word called I belong. Say that with me. I belong. I belong. Yeah. And you will write where you belong. Suddenly you will find your identity problem starts right there. Today the greatest cause is people don't have a sense of belonging. And you need to write it down, then only it will come out. I belong, one, to Jesus. Amen? I belong to the kingdom of God. Amen? That's so easy to write. Second one. I belong in my hope. And then suddenly you will find tears coming in your eyes. I belong to my parents. Maybe they never said it. When you write, suddenly things will begin to happen. You understand that? I belong. This is powerful. Try it. You will find it. I belong to my parents. I belong to India. I'm Indian. Amen? If you are a Malayali, say, I belong to Kerala. I'm a good Mandu. You will soon find that you cannot take it sometimes. Even tears will come. So many people go to this Lord, I wish I was somebody else, somewhere else, Lord. Listen then, maybe they don't express it, but deep down that is there. Certified of belonging. I belong. Yeah. I belong. Where? I belong. You belong here? And you write. Suddenly you will find, you will be able to find your spiritual identity. One of the enemy's tricks is to make you ruthless. And this word is what keeps you true. You hear that? That's the decision. Suddenly you will find. See, I remember when I took my baptism and stepped out for the Lord, and there was such a pressure from me. Where do I belong now? Where do I belong now? It's not like I had enough. Where do I belong now? Where do I go? What's happening? What about my spiritual life? Where do I belong? I'm on a Pentecost. I'm on a Catholic. Understand that? Remember this, when you write where you belong, mean it. Suddenly decisions will come. Are you with me? Then your calling will emerge. Your gifting will emerge. When you're not clear there, your rootlessness, and where there is rootlessness, there is no fruit. Are you with me? Many of you are not having food, but there's no root. Where do I? I'm not saying you should belong here. God has called you here to belong here. You're welcome. There's something that God puts in you. Are you with me? But whenever I realized long time ago, I couldn't stand with the doctrines of the church, the traditional church. I'm completely. I have nothing against the church or anything against it. If I'm going to walk with my Lord, I come. But then when I get the security, the protection, at least the structure and all that, that all matters, isn't it? What about it, Lord? The place to be worried? Should I connect my own marriage, Lord? So would you write that? Amen? You know, right, your spiritual identity will reveal then. And there comes the fruitfulness. Are you with me? Then you know you belong. So, I belong to my home, I belong to my parents, I belong to this place, I belong to Canada, I belong to this place, I belong to this ministry, I belong to this church. And belonging, root, your identity begins to emerge. Amen. And the faster you do it, the better.
Amen.
You've got to be able to inside of you to choose. Amen. Amen. See, if you will take, and I had a book like this, and that book, you know what I did? I wrote down the pros of each ministry and all, and which do I want? I found there's good here, there's bad there, there's good here, there's bad there. Oh, I want the good of everything. But that's not the way it's going to be. But you chose. I chose. Do I need to tell you that? What I chose? It will be visible in a couple of weeks. That's all right. But praise God, when God has called me, there is no turning back.
Amen.
So shall we close our eyes?